Hey, welcome to the Cornerstone Church Podcast, one of the many places that we love to declare Jesus.
We see you in your life living a life of resilient faith for all of your days, and we believe that listening to this message is going to be part of strengthening your faith journey.
Enjoy the message.
Laughter is a funny thing. Pastor Mark was telling a story about his grandchild being born and immediately sucking their thumb. Laughter is one of those basic human responses. We don't actually always know where we learn it or how we do it, but there's just something in us that when we see something funny, when something tickles us, we begin to laugh very early on. There's all kinds of different laughter. The reason comedy is so funny to us is because there are all kinds of different ways we can laugh at a punchline, or we can laugh at what's absurd. We can laugh because I've been through that myself and I've experienced it and I've walked into it all on my own. Did you know you can even make yourself laugh? I don't know if you've ever started off laughing as like a pretend laugh and it got so funny to you that it became a real laugh, because laughter just kind of triggers something on the inside of us. But there's a last laugh that you can have. If I say somebody has the last laugh, when I tell you that I'm gonna have the last laugh, it means when all is said and done, the laugh that I have at the end is gonna be the final word on the matter. That there is a final laugh that punctuates whatever's been going on, and the one who laughs last is the one who got the final word. As we can continue our series on faith, reality, a study through Hebrews 11, I want to talk to you today about the last laugh. I believe that there is a last laugh in your life. I believe that there is another laugh that's coming to some of you. If you have a Bible with you, will you turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11? That is where we will be for the next several weeks. It's where we have been for the last couple of weeks. We are looking at some of these heroes of the faith. Some of this hall of fame of faith. We're not looking at every single story that is mentioned in the book of Hebrews, mainly for the sake of our time together, because otherwise we would be in Hebrews chapter 11 for an entire year, which maybe wouldn't be a bad idea, but it's not what we're doing this year. So we're going to skip a few verses from where we ended last week, and we're going to pick it up in Hebrews 11, starting in verse 8. It says, by faith, come on, can you say by faith? Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and set out for a place that he was going to receive. Say, going to receive. I just want your help here at the beginning, and then I'll do the talking for the rest of the time. An inheritance. He went out even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he stayed as a foreigner in the land of his promise, living in tents as did Isaac and Jacob, co-heirs of the same promise, for he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah herself, when she was able to have children, received power to conceive offspring, even though she was past the age, since she considered that the one who had promised was faithful. Turn with me to the book of Genesis. We're going to go to chapter 12. This is the beginning of the story. Chapter 12, just the first couple of verses, it says, the Lord said to Abram, go from your land, your relatives and your father's house, to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse anyone who treats you with contempt. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. I don't want you to miss that. That Abram, sometimes we think of the stories that we read in scripture and we hear the beginning of someone's story as it is recounted to us. And we think that because it's where we enter the story, that it's the beginning of that person's story. But it tells us right here that Abram was 75 years old. Old when God said to him, I'm calling you out of this place and I have somewhere yet for you to go. Can I tell you, you may feel like so much of my story has already been told, but God may be getting ready to yet speak to you the thing that you will be known for, the thing that will mark your life, the thing that you will be remembered for. Come on, I'm not trying to cloak anything that I'm saying. We have a church that is multi-generational, and every age and every demographic has its own lie that the enemy tries to speak to it. And if you are in the latter years of your life, the lie that the enemy wants to speak to you is that your story is finished, that the things that you were gonna do have already been done, that the best days of your life are behind you. But it says right here that Abram was 75 years old, and the word of the Lord came to him and said, Abram, I have somewhere I'm calling you into. Abram, I have something I'm walking you into. Come on, if you're older than 60 years old, will you just stand to your feet and be a testimony that God is doing something in your life, that I've walked through some seasons, that I've walked through some seasons, that I've prayed through some seasons. But God's not finished with your story. God's not done with what he has planned for you. He said to Abram, I have yet another thing for your life. God has yet another thing for your life. By faith, there's something else you can walk into. By faith, God has something he's declaring over you. There might be one reality that says it's your years to just go sit down. But by faith, we have access to a different reality that says, until God calls me home to glory, I'm gonna keep showing up for his purpose. He's not done with me yet. By faith, God spoke to Abram. Lord have mercy. I wasn't supposed to get worked up early. Okay. God calls Abram, and by extension, Sarai. And he says to them, I have a word for your life. He says, I have a land that I want to take you to, and it's going to be your land. It's going to be your possession. I have a people that I want to bring through you. I have a nation that's going to come through you, Abram. I want you to know that I'm going to bless you in all that you do, Abram. I want you to know that your name is going to be great, Abram. I want you to know that my hand is going to be so for you that anybody that treats you with contempt is going to be outside of my blessing and outside of my hand, that my goodness will be removed from them, because Abram, I'm so for you. Abram, I am moving in your direction. He speaks to Abram and says, I have a promise over your life, and I have something that I want to move you into, Abram. But it requires something from Abram. It requires something for Abram to access the promise that God has just spoken over his life. I got one of those prizes one time that like you peel it back and it's like, congratulations, you've won $500. And I was like, this is awesome. But then you start reading it and it's like, you have to show up on this date to this location at this specific time and talk to Carol, the one who wears the red shirt, not the one who wears the green shirt. And then we'll give you a gift card if you make it in the hole. You know, have you ever gotten those? You're like, I thought I just got, oh, to access this particular thing requires something of me. It's not just going to be mailed into my life. It's not just going to be shipped into my life. Abram receives a promise from God, but the promise that he receives requires something of him in response. I think sometimes we hear a promise from God and we think the next thing that's going to happen is the promise is going to show up on our doorstep. God, I heard a word from you. Where is it? God, I heard that you were going to make my name great. But God says, no, Abram, there's something that this requires of you. I need you to pack up and I need you to leave the land that you've been from, Abram. Abram, I need you to pack up and I need you to leave the people that you're accustomed to, Abram. I need you to move from the place that you are because I am taking you somewhere new. And this is why it's important to remember that Abram is not a young man. Abram is 75 years old and God is saying to him, I need you to leave the place. It's one thing for God to speak a word of movement, for God to speak a word of transition over your life when you're in the season where you're hoping for it and where you're looking for it. It's one thing when you are in an age or where you're in a moment where you're going, God, send me wherever you want to send me. God, take me wherever you want to take me. Come on, if you're 18 and you're 19 years old, you're like, God, what do you want to do with my life? Where do you want to take my life, God? Send me to the nations, Jesus. Send me anywhere you want to go. But then after a few decades, you've started building some things and you've started making some relationships and you've started establishing some things and it becomes a little bit harder for God to send you where he wants to send you and take you where he wants to take you. All of a sudden, you're like, God, are you sure? Because I've been here in this place for a while. I've been standing in this moment for a while. God, my family's here and my home is here. Everything I know is here. And God says to Abram, I know you've been here for 75 years, but I need you to go to a place I'm taking you to. The reason God needs Abram to go to a place he's taking him to is because God wants to make of Abram a nation of himself. Of Abram, a land that he will promise and a land that he will possess. But Abram cannot receive the new thing as long as he's holding on to the old thing. As long as you're in the land you're familiar with, and as long as you're with the people you're familiar with, Abram, how can I move you to a place where you can possess the land that I've promised you and birth the people that are coming through you? But this is how all of us want to be. We're like, God, I want the land of my promise. God, I want the place that you're taking me to. God, make a nation out of me. God, let that business come through me. God, do the thing that you've spoke, but at the same time, I don't really want to let go of the thing that I'm comfortable with. I don't really want to move into the thing I'm not sure about. I want to hold on to this in case that doesn't actually show up. God, I believe you, but just in case, can I stay in the land until you show me the new land? God, I trust you. I trust you that my spouse is on the way, God, but can I just keep my old girlfriend's number in my phone until the wife shows up? I just want to hold on to what I know until I'm sure of the promise. But that's not how faith works. faith requires me to leave the thing that I'm comfortable with, to leave the thing that I know, to leave the thing that I've built on so far, and move into the in-between and the unknown before I know what the new thing's gonna be. Without a plan, without directions, without what it's gonna look like, without a blueprint, without even a final destination, God says to Abram, leave this place and go towards a place that I will show you. After you've left, after you've cut ties, after you've dismissed the thing that was behind you, once you're in the middle of the unknown, I will show you eventually in my own time, in my own plan, in my own way. It requires us to exist in the in-between. And Abram does something critical. He obeys God. He does it. It's the next verse. It says, so Abram packed up everything and he set out. He moved when God spoke. Obedience is critical to a life of faith. Obedience is necessary to see God's promises come relevant in your life. Without a map of where he was going, without a blueprint of what this would look like, without a timeline of when he was going to get there, without directions or information on what it was going to look like on the other side, Abram obeyed God. I don't go anywhere without directions. I mean, I used to. When I started driving, I used to just remember how to get places. My brain was awesome. And then MapQuest came out and I would print directions and carry those in my car. And then after I printed directions and carried those in my car, then they put it on my phone for me. And now I put in directions to go places I know how to get to that are only 7 minutes down the road. I put it in because I want to know, am I still on the fastest route to my destination? Because when I punch it in that little thing, the line will light up for me. And it'll go from blue to orange to let me know, oh, just so you know, around this corner up here, we're going to slow down a little bit for a few minutes. Just so you know, there's some trouble that's on the way. It's about 7 minutes down the line. Apparently, everywhere in my life is 7 minutes away. Just so you know, there's a roadblock down the road ahead, so you might have to detour to go a different direction. Oh, I'm updating your route because that road is closed down and I'm taking you in a different direction. But faith is not a fast track to where you're going. Faith is not a life of efficiency of how do I get from here to there in the fastest route possible. Faith does not send you alerts ahead of time that there's going to be some delays coming a couple of years down the line. Faith does not send you a memo ahead of time just so you know there's a crash up here in about a half an hour. Just so you know there's some people on the side of the road that are creating a slowdown. Faith doesn't send you any of those things because faith is a journey of walking with God. Faith is a journey of trusting in who he is. Faith is not the fastest possible way for me to access where it is I'm trying to go. Faith is about my dependency on him. Faith is not about me manifesting my destiny and my purpose and my desires. Faith is not about me seeing if I can get God to move into my will and my plan in my life. Faith is not about me seeing if I can make my own name great and my own thing. Faith is not about forcing God's hand. Faith is about yielding my life to his plan, to his purpose, to following his ways and his directions. Faith is about me setting out from the place that I knew to the place that I don't yet know, hanging on to a word from God and a promise from God that says, I'm walking you in a way and I will be with you along the journey. So Abram and Sarai set out. Abram and Sarai set out on their journey. And for 24 years, they journey with God. They go all kinds of places and they meet all kinds of people. They're in all kinds of situations. And they come to a moment because even though God has been good to them, and even though God has showed up to them, and even though everything that they touch seems to prosper, and Abram's flocks have grown, and his wealth has grown, and he's met the most prestigious people along the way, and they've acknowledged God's hand on his life, there's still a piece in their life that has not yet been fulfilled. There's still this part of the promise, 24 years into the journey. Somewhere midway along that way, Abram and Sarai do, many of you know this, what most of us try to do. It's not working and it's not showing up and it seems like the promise isn't going to be fulfilled. And so instead of waiting on God, they say, well, God, we heard you, but the faith part is taking too long and it's taking too much of a journey. And it seems like maybe it's not working. So I've decided to just get my hands on it. And they try to create the heir that they're waiting for. They try to create the lineage and the people that they are waiting for. And they create a mess of a situation with Hagar and with Ishmael, exerting their power where God never told them they could exert their power, and creating a lineage that God never told them to create. And it creates all kinds of chaos and all kinds of mess in their life. And despite how much they plead for it, particularly Abram, God refuses to bless. God refuses to acknowledge as the promise what he never said was going to be the promise. How often do we, it's just like what Cain did last week, we take what we've produced out of our own hands and we go, God, won't you bless the thing that I made? And God goes, my blessing is not on the thing that you've conjured. My blessing is on the thing that I promised. 24 years into all this, highs and lows with God, I want you to turn to Genesis 17 and 15. It says, and God said to Abraham, as for your wife Sarai, do not call her Sarai, for Sarah will be her name. Something is happening here. For the last 24 years, they've been journeying with God. For the last 24 years, they've been on this walk of faith with God. For the last 24 years, they've experienced the ups and the downs. They've seen God's favor in their life and they've experienced the heartbreak. They've seen promises fulfilled and they have promises that they're yet waiting to see. They've been on this walk. They've been on this faith journey. And God comes in chapter 17 to speak to Abram once more. And when he comes to speak to Abram once more, he's coming for two reasons. One, he's coming to bring healing and restoration from the reproach of what he did with Hagar and with Ishmael. And he says, I saw what you did, and I want you to know that it was never my plan, and that I cannot acknowledge the thing that you did, and I cannot bless it in the way that you want me to bless it. But I came for you still, Abram, because my promise that I spoke to you 24 years ago is still true. My promise that I spoke over your life before you made this mess of a situation, it's still consistent, because even when your word falters, my word remains the same. And so he comes to bring Abram back into a place of healing and a place of restoration with him. And he comes to bring Sarai back into a place of healing and of restoration. And he is coming secondarily to reconfirm the promise that he spoke to them. And he comes to them and he says, I want to mark this moment and I want to acknowledge, Abram and Sarai, that you are not who you were when you left that place. When you set out away from Haran, you are no longer Abram and Sarai. You've been through something over these last decades, Abram, and you've been through something over these last decades, Sarai. And walking with me and walking in this journey of faith, it has marked you and it has formed you and it has changed you. and it has molded you, and we're moving because I'm reconfirming the promise that I always spoke to you. And before we move forward again, I want you to know that I'm giving you a new name, that I'm restoring to you the promise that I spoke to you, that I'm restoring to you the thing that I always said to you, that my word will not return to me void. And from this moment on, you're no longer just Abram and Sarai, the people who left the land that they came from. You are now the mother and father of faith, Abraham and Sarah, who are getting ready to walk into the plan and the purpose that I have. He changes their name from Abram and Sarai into Abraham and Sarah to mark that he is doing something in them in this season. And he says to them, tell her, I will bless her indeed. And I will give you a son by her. I will bless her and she will produce nations. Kings of people will come from her. And then it says, Abraham fell down. And then he laughed and said to himself, can a child be born to a 100-year-old man? Can Sarah? I love about Abraham that he responds quickly to God. He's not sure about this promise thing still, but when God said, I need you to get up and I need you to go, he got up and he went immediately. When God says to Abraham, I don't want you to call your wife Sarai anymore. I want you to call her Sarah now. The next sentence that he says to him, he refers to her not by who she was, but who God says she is now. Can Sarah, a 90-year-old woman, give birth? And Abraham laughs, not a laugh of humor, not a laugh because this is funny, not a laugh because God's got jokes. Abraham laughs in disbelief. He laughs like, God, what are you even trying to say to me now? Then God's like, I'm saying the same thing I've always been saying to you, that a nation will come through you. You to see this in Genesis 18 and 10, because faith is contagious, but so is doubt. Genesis 18 and 10, it says, and the Lord said, I will certainly come back to you. Sorry, let me frame this a little bit. This is now speaking to Sarah. There are three angels, an angelic visitation that has come. One of them, we believe, is a Christophany now speaking to Sarah. And it says, the Lord said, I will certainly come back to you in about a year's time. And your wife Sarah will have a son. And now Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent behind him. And Abraham and Sarah were old and getting on in years. And Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. She done went through menopause and everything. And so she laughed to herself. After I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have delight? And Sarah's laugh is not a laugh of humor. It's not a laugh because she thinks this is funny. It's not a laugh because she thinks the Lord has jokes for her. Laughter is a complex emotional response. They tell me it's actually located in our brains, very close to the same place that produces tears. That produces crying. It's why we laugh sometimes in awkward moments, in inconvenient. You ever been at a funeral and someone started laughing? And you're like, why are you laughing now? I don't know, but laughter is complex because one of the ways that laughter shows up in our life is a coping mechanism for pain. That laughter begins to bubble up. It's why we see so many of our comedic heroes that in their secret place struggle with pain and depression because the laughter becomes the coping mechanism when I'm not sure what to do with the pain of this moment. God says to Abraham, hey, remember how I told you about that heir that's gonna come through you? I'm still gonna do that thing. And Abraham laughs, God, I'm almost 100 years old. And then it comes again, a second time, so that Sarah can hear it for herself, and says, hey, don't forget that son, those kings of nations, they're still coming through you. And Sarah laughs, God. Not because they think God's funny, because God has just tapped on their deepest point of pain. They've been walking with God for decades, and they've seen his power, and they've seen his might, and they've seen his faithfulness, and they've seen him show up time and time again. They've seen how he's rescued them out of their own lies, and they've seen how their flocks and their wealth has grown and has multiplied. They've seen how he's made ways in the midst of the desert place, and they've just settled in themselves, God, I guess all of this has to be good enough. But there's this place of pain on the inside. There's this place of longing on the inside of, God, but you said something. You said something to me that I still haven't seen the fulfillment of. You told me something, and I don't know what to do with that anymore. So I've just pushed it down way deep, and I've said, I guess that thing is never gonna show up, God. I guess it's time to let go of that part of the promise. God, I'm almost 100 years old. We've been out here in this desert for 24 years. Can't we just leave it alone? And God says, I still know the thing that I spoke to you, and I still know the longing that's on the inside of you, and I still know the thing that my promises are yes and amen. And he comes to them because God is kind, and because God is good, and because doubt and disbelief and the desire to just give up on what God has said has settled in their hearts in such a way that God in his kindness comes to them. And he says two times, I want to remind you of what I said to you. God in his kindness is coming to some of you today and saying, I know it's been a while. I know it's been years since I spoke that thing. I know you've seen me show up in other places. I know there are other parts of your life where you've seen my hand work, but that thing that you've set over on the side and said, God, I guess I just need to give up on that part of the promise. Maybe I didn't even hear you right, God, and who am I to even desire or want that thing from you anymore, God? You've been so faithful in so many other ways, God. You've been so good to me in so many other ways, God. We never have to talk about that part of the promise again, but God is good. And he is kind, and he sent me here today to remind you for a second time that he said something over your life, that he spoke something over your life, that there is a hand of God that is moving in your life, that if he spoke it to you, his promises are always faithful, and his word is always true. He might take a long time in coming to the fulfillment of the promise. It might be longer than you ever thought that it was gonna be. It might linger more than you wanted it to. It might take some stretching along the journey. You might have messed it up because you tried to get your hand on it. But God in his faithfulness is coming a second time to say, my promise still stands. My promise is still true. I spoke something over your life, and I still intend to make good on the word that I spoke to you. Because look what happens in Genesis 21. It says, the Lord came to Sarah, and as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant, and she bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the appointed time that God had told him. And Abraham named his son who was born to him the one that Sarah bore to him, not the one that Hagar bore to him, Isaac. And when his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God had commanded. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh. And everyone who hears will laugh with me. Not a laugh of disappointment. Not a laugh to cover my pain. Not a laugh because I doubt that you can do what you said. Sarah said, God has made me laugh. A laugh of joy. A laugh of astonishment. A laugh that says God has become faithful. When I thought I would never see it. When I thought my days were over. When I thought I was too far gone. When I thought I'd messed it up too much. When I thought the hour had already gone past. When it seemed like the moment was too far. Yet there was a last laugh in Sarah's life. Not a laugh of doubt, but a laugh that said, look what God has done for me. God has a last laugh for your life. That's what he sent me here to tell you today. That there are some of you who have been lingering in disappointment, who have laid down promises that God had for you. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand straight in the air. Spirit of God is moving in this place. If you're saying, God, I need a reminder of your promise. Tell me again what you've told me, God. Speak to me again. Holy Spirit, I believe you're moving in this place. Move, God. Move, God. Move afresh. I thank you that your word is faithful. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, moving in this place. Holy Spirit. Just begin to cry out to God. Lay down your doubt. Lay down your disappointment. Thank you for faith. I thank you that faith is rising. I thank you that faith is moving in this place. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're doing. God, I thank you that the last laugh is from you. I thank you that you're stirring faith, that you're reminding of promises, that what God spoke over your life is still able to come through. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The thing about Isaac's name is that Isaac's name means laughter, or he laughs. Everywhere that Isaac went, he was a reminder of the laughter that comes when God's promises are fulfilled. God is going to fulfill some promises in your life that become living declarations, that become living declarations of God's faithfulness. They become living reminders that his word is true. They become living reminders that God is still faithful, that I've been waiting for a long time, but he still showed up in my life, that I've been waiting for a long time, but he's still moving in my life. Thank you, God, that you're moving. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're coming. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.